Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Annette Maria. She is founder of Sanctuary Publishing. She is an intuitive facilitator of healing, best-selling author, and host of Sacred Dance Podcast. Through Sanctuary Publishing, she merges healing with publishing. She works with soul-led entrepreneurs who are ready to be authentically seen, whether it's through publishing their story or refining their mission. So Annette, welcome to the space.
Hi, Hollis. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. And thank you for providing me an opportunity to explore a new platform.
Oh my gosh, you are so welcome. I am so glad you're here. This is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Thank you. So after reading just that little bit of your bio to give people a little hint about you, could you please give people a little bit more, tell them more about you?
Absolutely. So it's like, where does one begin, right? I always say, first and foremost, I'm a soul incarnated in this human form and I'm committed to staying connected to that. So, you know, I'm a spiritually driven woman, a yogi, and that's the basis behind everything that I do and create, is this this knowledge and these teachings that are woven in. So within my business now, I've merged the healing work and publishing. So within Sanctuary Publishing, it's really a merge of, how I said, publishing and healing coming together. So I've really realized, you know, when we become published, when we make our biggest dream, like, you know, for some people, writing their book is one of their biggest dreams. And when it's just treated as like a hamster wheel type process, or, you know, just a conveyor belt type process. Okay, beautiful. Next, all right, your book's out, next. That discredits the sacred element of that this is a massive dream, that this is a big deal that you have written and put your book out and your story out, and that there's probably been a lot that got pulled up in that process. So I'm really here to honor the sacred birthing process that it is to birth your creations and bring them out into the world, and, you know, working with all that, it is the excitement, the vulnerability, the fear, all of it. So yeah, I guess that's a little snippet of
it's
me.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I can't wait to dig in deeper and find out more about what you did even prior to this, or if this was always where you were. But I love how you stated it's just such a beautiful concept where people are telling their story, and many have this dream in order to do that. And there's a lot that becomes uncovered in this process when someone says yes to this and makes the commitment. And the beauty of this publishing space that you created, that I've created, that we're following the model of, is that it's a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. And it's not to dismiss it and minimize it. It's just to make it so it doesn't have to be this whole long drawn out process.
Absolutely.
And it really brings up, it's a huge achievement, and it's going through that hamster wheel of, okay, next. It's true. It's exactly what you said. It makes it smaller than what it is.
Yeah. And it's a big deal. And also, like, there's a lot that comes up, right? Especially if you're what you are writing, what you are sharing, if that is something that is related to a traumatic event, a pain, a hardship that's happened in your life, writing about it re-triggers the whole event in itself, right? It helps you redefine it if you have the support to redefine it. Or it might, you know, be overwhelming to even go into that process of writing it. And then to be able to then to be seen for that, that is, I think, something that I've been really kind of spearheading within my publishing work is really, you know, being seen for our trauma is a lot different than just healing from our trauma. There's a whole nother element that you need to feel safe in your being to be able to feel excited and joyful about that experience.
Oh my gosh. That is quite a deep concept. You said to spearhead being seen for your trauma, not just healing your trauma. Did I hear that correctly?
I sometimes forget what I say, to be quite honest, because I don't know if I'm the one saying it. So I said, yeah, being seen for your trauma is way different than healing from it, yeah, right? Because yeah, if we could heal from our trauma and work on it on our own and, you know, we chip away. But the people who maybe have caused that, you know, were a part of that trauma, or, you know, people that maybe haven't seen that part of ourselves, that vulnerable aspect of us, right? And then we put this book out and it can literally go anywhere to anyone around the world. That is a whole nother trigger that we wouldn't even know we had to explore in therapy and healing work, because, you know, that's not always part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is going to be good. So this is just scratching the surface. So I want to welcome the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here. You can participate in the conversation by typing in the chat box any questions or comments that you have, and we will see them. So thank you. So Annette, let's start with our would you rather question, and then we will dive into the first question.
Sounds good.
So would you rather fly on a unicorn or a magic carpet?
A magic carpet.
Oh, okay. I had a preconceived idea and it didn't go with that. So tell me why.
Carpet just feels more free. You could like lay down, you know, unicorn, you're kind of just, you got one seat. But a magic carpet, you can do many different options, and I'm all about options.
It's true.
That's a good question. I like that.
It's kind of like a mat. It's like a yoga mat.
Yeah, you can sit, you can stand, you can really do many things. You can lay down, starfish, spread, everything.
It's all about the options. So there we go. Okay. So first official question is, how do you define creativity?
I was thinking about this morning, and for me, creativity is the glimpse of our connection to the divine universe source, however you want to say that. Creativity for me is coming into the present moment and entering a sense of inspiration, flow. You're just like elated and like really excited and exploratory. And for me, that I feel like is a glimmer of this spiritual connection. So for me, creativity is really a spiritual journey of opening ourselves up to what we're meant to create in this world.
So it's the spiritual journey, like you said. And I love that word glimpse. Creativity is the glimpse of our connection to the divine. So there's like this curiosity. There's this kind of like, it's the holidays and you're like, ooh, what's behind there or what's being made?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, when you enter that flow state, right, when you're creating and you're in it and you're grooving, and that's you're just fully present in the moment and you're just tapped into something bigger than you, right? Because sometimes you forget, oh, I'm in this body, I'm doing this, right? You're just so in the act of doing it. You're so present that everything else falls away. And that to me is like a blurring of the lines of the separation that we live in.
Yeah. Because why I started my company was, you know, having the label of being an art teacher and all this for, you know, 30 years and all this kind of stuff in many different settings. People would, you know, you say your niceties of what you do. And when I'd say art teacher and, you know, whatever, people immediately say, I can't draw or paint. And I'd say, that's okay. Neither can I. Like, I went to art school, but that's not my voice. It's not my talent. It's not my expression. I have other ways that I do this. But I bring this up because it's like really the sole mission of the company is to empower people to become engaged with life, to become engaged with this flow instead of this, you know, it's said often, but this whole hamster wheel that we get on and we just, everything becomes a blur and not a good way because we're so stuck in routine.
Absolutely. And also I was that person that if you told me, I always knew I had this urge to create, and I know I was always deeply creative in my life and as a child, and then it kind of got shut away for whatever reasons they were. And my partner is an oil painter, right? He's outwardly, you would be like, wow, you know, he's the creative one, she's not. And I was like, no, like, I was like, I am creative in other ways. So like, yeah, we can be creative. It's not just about painting and drawing, right? There's so much more to it, how you said. So I love that that's, you know, the purpose behind the work that you do.
It's because I feel like, and you see it in what you do, is that when people kind of heal that space of not seeing them, I truly see it as, because people get very defensive. They're like, well, I'm not a creative person. There's kind of like a lot of words that kind of emotion that comes along with that. Well, that's something for them. That's not for me. And it's not to be this politically correct thing of everybody just come in here. We're just accepting of all just to be nice. It's bringing people in and saying, yeah, the people who draw and paint, the people who perform on stage and all of this, they deserve accolades for what they do. But you also deserve accolades for what you do because it's your authenticity. It's your individuality. And when you step into that, then you're happy.
Absolutely. And also, I think you're just open to exploring. I think that's maybe why I got really defensive, or I'll speak from my experience, when someone would be, when I would even think about wanting to create, and I'd get all frustrated with myself, like, oh, well, I can't paint or draw. And that's another, like, the boxes, right, that we put ourselves in and that we box creativity in. And how I said, you know, all about the options. So like, how can we broaden what being creative means and like what it could look like, right? And, you know, for me, then I started to explore pottery and I started to just explore different avenues, and not to be like an expert or to be like mastering the art, right? But just to just explore different avenues, dancing, singing, right? All these are creative acts. So I think it's, I think maybe we get so defensive because we know that we're disconnected from that like inner child exploratory joyful element. And it's just another reminder. At least that's what it was like for me.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I love that those words that you just brought up, saying open to exploring and being an expert. Because we have this idea that, oh, well, yeah, if we're going to do it, we better be good at it. And we better, but at the same time, isn't it fun to actually kind of screw up and laugh?
Oh my God. When I first started pottery, and I've only been doing it for like a couple months, but when I first started, I spent an hour and 20 minutes once in the studio trying to center the wheel, the ball of clay on the wheel. I was watching YouTube videos. I was laughing. I was so annoyed, but I also was so happy because for once I wasn't trying to be good at anything. And it was just the most freeing experience.
It is so funny because that's actually, that was my major in school. You think, what? You went to school for ceramics? Like, what are you talking about? But that was actually my major. And I remember the sophomore year when we determined what our major was. We had pottery class, hand building. Wheel throwing, whatever, mold casting, all this kind of stuff. But in the wheel throwing class, I remember one of my friends in it, she wore a poncho while she was throwing. And we were given the assignment that we needed to create like 10 cylinders that were 10 inches high or something, which when you're first learning how to do it, you have to understand that the clay is going to control you. Like, you have to be centered and grounded in order to kind of tell the clay what to do instead of the clay telling you what to do. So, but she got her poncho wrapped in the clay as it was spinning.
Oh, no.
She almost got suffocated. That, but it really was serious, but it was actually really funny. We're like, that would have been really embarrassing, like death by poncho on Potter's wheel.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, wow, Well, thank God she's okay.
Thank God she's okay. And that just brought back that memory. Oh my God. But I love that you mentioned that. It's just kind of like, yeah, you just kind of laugh at yourself and you're doing it because you want to do it, because you're curious. You want to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's fun, right? Wow. That's a concept that we don't explore much either. Fun and joy.
Fun. Fun. What a concept. So tell us more about kind of what you did prior to getting to this more enlightened space. Were you always this enlightened, or tell us a little bit about the journey?
I would not call me enlightened. I'm just a student of what is thrown my way, which has refined me. I think I've just been refined really more than anything. Honestly, my path, my coming upon spirituality, and all came about for me when I was in eighth grade. I stumbled into a yoga class. I was a chubby little kid and my mom took me to the gym and just kind of dropped me off. And I was like, what am I supposed to do here? So I would always go into the yoga room. It was just like I was pulled in. I would always talk about it. And it was always something in the back of my mind. I just knew. I was obsessed with it. I didn't even know what it really was. And then it kind of just led me on this journey of, I always knew I was going to teach it. I always knew I was going to go deeper into it. And I would always, you know, watch. I would buy DVDs at ShopRite and do all these like random things when I was in high school. And then when I got to college, I was more free, and I was able to explore it in greater depths. And that was, you know, that's been the process of just kind of following where the breadcrumbs of life and where like my soul is guiding me. And it has not been easy by any means. Maybe that kind of sounds like, oh, that sounds like a nice process. It hasn't been easy by any means. It's been deeply challenging because I have to let go of control more often than not. And when we commit to living just like a soul-led life that is committed to our joy and to our purpose, it's challenging, but it's also deeply fulfilling.
So this whole finding this in eighth grade, so this has been a consistent throughout your life? Did you take breaks from doing it, or was this consistent?
So I've been absolutely consistent since probably 2012 with my yoga journey. And then that led me to become a teacher, which then I became a massage therapist, an energy healer. I'm now diving into shamanism. So it's really, things just kind of unfold and blossom, right? We take one step and then like seven doors open. You take another step, more doors open. So it's just this constant evolution and just a commitment to my spiritual practice, really. Without that, I wouldn't be doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, I like that you mentioned that it started in eighth grade and you had no idea why. It was just like this pull, but you were open to the continuation of doing it. You were open to that. Whereas instead of kind of like, what the hell is that? And then you just kind of do it and stop or kind of ignore it. You actually listened.
Yeah, I think I really didn't have a choice. I think I had so many pains and hardships and just a lot I went through as a child and, you know, as a young adult. And there, if I didn't have my knowledge of spirituality and yogic philosophy and the practice of yoga, I don't know who I would be today. So I think it was more of a gift for me. And if I stopped doing it, I wouldn't be well, you know. So it really was just a way for me to be able to stay operating the world. And then it led me to feel more deeply fulfilled and present. And so, yeah, for me, it just kind of saved me first and foremost. And then it, you know, helped lift me up.
It's, you know, you talk about like the plank where you kind of get hit with it to be kind of woken up. Yeah. So it's kind of like that whisper that can happen. And then sometimes it's like the plank that hits you and you're like, what was that? Like, okay, I'm paying attention. And then if you really don't listen to that, then something more extreme happens. Like a bigger plank comes, you know, and knocks you out in some way, which could lead to, you know, not being healthy or disease or whatever you want to call it. Cause you just really weren't paying attention.
Absolutely. And for me, my big plank moment was I was already deep in my spiritual path for about 5 years. I was, you know, I finished my yoga teacher training and I was working designing wallpaper full time and I just absolutely dreaded it. And I just asked the universe, like, I just want to teach yoga full time. And 2 weeks later, the plank came in and I got fired. It was just like, dunk, you're out. Have fun. Like, you know, you got what you asked for. Now you got to figure out, how, you know, now you got to, you know, go through all that's been holding you back. And that was that moment of like, wow, I didn't realize, you know, how much I was holding myself back from my greatest desire. And that led me to an even greater healing journey. So yeah, sometimes the plank, sometimes we even ask for the plank. We don't even realize it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's that whole, we don't realize. And I think so many people don't realize that they have the ability to ask for what they want, to verbalize it, to visualize it. And so often, like you said, it actually does present, but if we're not thinking of it in a way that we're asking for it for change because we want to step into that, then it can present as something really traumatic and bad. Like, oh my God, I lost my job. Now what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like those different perspectives. Before I go on to the next thing, I want to ask you, so how do you design wallpaper?
I actually went to college for fashion merchandising, and I was a big fashion girl. That was like my drive for, you know, a while. And I was working, we was in product development. We worked with vendors in Asia and the Philippines and in India, and we would, you know, they would give us designs. We would work with color. So it was really, forecasting the trends, picking the right colors, you know, the right designs and things. There was people on our team that did like the digital wallpaper designs, but yeah, it was a fun and draining space to be in.
So how long did you do it for?
I lasted about a year in an office and then I never went back. Which just makes me laugh.
I have to say, like, all the times when I did customer service, so I was in retail, and whenever I'd walk into a mall, it just makes me tired. Yeah. It makes me physically tired, I guess, because of the lights and all that. So did that for a while and whatever, lots of other customer service places. And then just so funny that I ended up teaching for so long in traditional, non-traditional settings, non-traditional being from like homeless shelters to my own businesses to actual, you know, public private schools. Mm-hmm. I never liked school. So I laughed that I actually found myself back in it.
Mm.
But I think it was solely for the mission of trying to make it different for others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to make it a positive space. So, okay. So let's flash forward a little bit. And so the multi-author book that you just put out, the title of it, I just think is so wonderful. And if you could kind of just dive into it, it's called Caged No More.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love in your introduction, you were like, there's a right way and a wrong way to live. There was much more kind of around that. But yeah, if you could kind of go into that title and what you, the purpose of it, I just think it's such a rich topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So what I said in the introduction was that there isn't a right or wrong way to live. That there, you know, society makes it that way. So Caged No More, it's wisdom from women that broke free from societal constraints. So if you look at society constraints and boxes, right? It's, you know, they look different depending on where we are in the world. But like say in America, it's, you know, working a 9-to-5 job that pays you $100,000 a year and you can provide for your family and you have, you know, a house with two children and a dog and you're married and blah, whatever it is, right? And the constraints are pressures, right? That oftentimes make people think, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like going to college, this is what I'm just supposed to do. And that kind of blocks out our the way that we want to do and to be, and the pressures that people have put on us, you know, from even when we were children. So the book has 16 women who have shared their story of personal liberation and how they broke out of the boxes and the limiting beliefs, you can call it, of how things should be. And they stepped into how it feels right for them to be. And I think that is something that is really important, right? Because oftentimes we're just going through the motions because we think, oh, it's just, I should be doing this because it's what I'm told. And what I mentioned in the introduction is, yeah, there isn't a right or wrong way to live. There is, it is, you know, I don't believe really even in the morality of right or wrong, but society makes us think that. And if what we are following by society's standards is dimming us, is making us feel small and less than, and just kind of, you know, suck dry of all of our life, then that is when we know we need to create a new way and listen to what we would want to do and get to know who you even are without all those pressures. So that's really what this book is hoping to inspire out in the world, is really to inspire people to live the way that they deeply yearn to be, and to know that it's safe to take the leap for the dreams and the desires, because they're yours to create. You're given these dreams and these desires because you're meant to create, you're meant to write that book, you're meant to start that business, you're meant to create that product. And that's why the idea was given to you. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for correcting me on that. I also saw something that you had written, I think it was in the intro, but it just resonated, where it was magical life even after the depths of pain.
Hmm.
And I just think it's important because I can hear thoughts, not that people have said it, but I can hear people who have said it to me, where they're like, oh, Hollis, really nice. It's, you know, pie in the sky thinking, oh, yeah, I just do what I want to do and that'll just work out. And, you know, that kind of thinking. But when it was worded this way, a magical life, even after the depths of pain, I just think if you could speak deeper to that. But I just, I guess, want to point out from my perspective, it's not always easy, but it's about really sticking and to your purpose, to your authenticity, and working through it and learning about who you really are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to challenge those people that have, you know, mentioned that to you, that it's just like, how can you like live how you want? And, you know, our thoughts create our reality, and that thought perpetuates that reality of it won't be working out. So I just wanted to add that into, and your question just left my brain. Oh yeah. So oftentimes, right, when we go through the depths of pain, when we're in a moment that feels heavy and dark, and some may deem it as a bad moment in our life, right? Well, we're discrediting the lessons and the juiciness that is teaching us. Of course, there's pain, there's hardship, it sucks. There's a lot there. And I've been through a lot myself, right? So I know how sometimes even hearing that could be triggering. But when we can, you know, when you look back at your life, when you've came out of a deep, dark part of your life, and you look back and you're like, wow, that taught me this lesson that brought me to who I am now. And I think that's what I really would love for people to take a look at, is how they deem things as good or bad, because we don't know where something is taking us, right? Something that may be perceived as good or bad. We don't know where it's going to be taking us. So it's really just being open to what the experience is providing you to learn, and then going deeper from there. And knowing that what you're experiencing now in the moment, it's perfectly for you, right? It's happening for you, not to you. It's happening to teach you, to help you evolve, to help you be more refined. If you're open to kind of looking at life in that way, you can grow massively in a beautiful way, and also, you know, receive and be and living out your purpose in a way that is fulfilling and also equally challenging.
Yeah, I think it's, I love that, pointing out what's perceived as good and what's perceived as bad, because what one person could see as good is somebody else's bad, and the opposite. It really is, it really doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have a definition. And I don't know if that made sense in what I just said, but it really taking us through that experience, because like you said, it's yours, it's necessary for growth in you being open to that growth.
Yeah. And it's absolutely, you know, we put this morality in our experiences, right? But it's just perception, how you said, like how I got fired from my first full-time job out of college. Someone would have said, oh my God, that's the worst thing ever. I'm so sorry. That when I walked out of that room, all I kept thinking was thank you, thank you, thank you. I was terrified, but I was just like, thank you so much. Like, this was the best day ever, you know? So it's, how am I supposed to know? Like, I'm not the one that's in control of it all, right? And when we deem things as good or bad, it's like we're just trying to pretend like we're in control and like we know where this is gonna take us. And we're not in control, which you can get to know in your creative process, right? That you're not in control sometimes of, especially, you know, a pot, a piece of clay, a painting. And it teaches us that.
In whatever it is, I'm going to extend that to parenting. So my daughter had a period of time where she had a big surgery and she missed a lot of school and whatever, she fell behind. So I went to this tutoring place and I have been very, grades are not a big thing to me or my husband. And we have never been high pressure on that. So when I was sitting across from this tutor at this tutoring agency, she was asking me all these questions and I felt really small because I didn't know the answers. Things like, well, which classes, you know, what is she behind in this class and what is she behind in? Like these things where I felt like, oh my God, as a parent, I should know this information. I should be on top of it. But in my head, I know my daughter and I know she's just like, Mom, back off, leave me alone. If you smother me, I'm not going to do it. So, but anyway, fast forward to coming home and my son was the first person in the room when I walked in and I said, do I suck as a parent? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, he's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I was talking to the tutor and she was saying, and he's like, shut up. He's like, that makes absolutely no sense what you're saying. And then I asked my daughter and I said, Skylar, do I suck? And she said, Mom, you know that if you would pressure me, I wouldn't do it. I'm like, I know, right?
Yeah, right. And that right there is like the society pressure, or that pressure from that person and that, you know, that tutor center's right perception of how things should be, however it is, right? That perception then turns what you have been just intuitively doing from your own knowing and what feels really good and has, you know, worked for your family, right? That makes you question yourself. And you're like, well, I don't know. Am I wrong? Right. And that is my issue with society norms and pressures is just because you want to live a certain way, that does not make you right or wrong, right? That just makes you what is right for you. That is your truth, and that we should all be able to live that out. And that should be normal in my perception.
Yeah. And last thing I'll say on that is that when I looked at her and I said, you know what? All my husband and I want for her is to be happy. Because we went to art school and she went, oh, oh, that's, you're a creative. Like that's the issue. But it's those, there is no right or wrong. It's what you really know, even though we look so much to the outside for this approval and, well, what should I be doing? We have an inner knowing.
Yeah. And that inner knowing is guiding us to where we need to go, right? Some of us may have these dreams and ideas, and that inner knowing is the exact thing that is going to get you there. And if we keep listening to the outside, that is just going to keep taking us further and further away, which could be part of our path. But when we listen to that inner knowing, that's our like directional pointing of trust yourself there, because that's yours.
Trust yourself. Okay, let's move on to the second question, which is a little bit more about you. Like, how do you incorporate more creativity into your own life?
That's been something I've been working on a lot lately. To be honest, when I was a child, I was deeply creative. I kind of feel bad how often I would ask my parents to take me to Michael's or like craft stores every other day. I feel like I would be like, but I want to go buy this. Like, I was always in my head, you know, thinking of things. And I remember I was painting one time on the floor and I got a little paint on the floor and, you know, it's like a little acrylic paint or whatever. And I got yelled at so heavily. And then ever since then, I felt just like my creativity kind of just like, I felt like I was just coiled back into myself. And it just always felt like not important in my life, right? Just always not important. Mm-hmm. Until about 2 years ago. I really think it was when COVID hit that I was like, I really haven't been creating. Like, I've been just like trucking along, doing what I think I should, right? I was just like, was always going. And always in kind of, I was also in a sense of burning out more often than not. And, you know, even with all my knowledge of it all, right, I still burnt out, still was a human, am a human. And I remember saying to my partner, I was like, I need a canvas and a paintbrush and some paints. And like, you need to teach me how to paint a ladybug, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, that was the catalyst of it. And it's been now incorporating things that bring me joy is what feels creative for me now. So I actually created a whole list the other day of things that bring me joy that I love to do. And the top things on there is making music. I play the harmonium, which is a music used in kirtan, Indian chanting music. And so it's an accordion and piano that's like together. Hmm. So I'm always playing the harmonium, playing the tambourine. I'm singing more often than not. And those are ways that I infuse creativity into like daily life. Also like how I plate my food, you know, how I can kind of infuse those little moments, how I, you know, create a space at nighttime. All those feel deeply creative and nourishing to that part of myself. And then pottery is something that's new in my life, and that I love, and I'm so excited to get back into. I had to take a little break this summer, but I'm excited to go back in for a fall session to go deeper into not being really good at it. And so that. Yeah, it's just growing and evolving. And whenever I get this little pull to do this, to bake that, you know, I kind of listen to it. And that's been my main focus more than anything now. You know, I have a business, I have all this amazing stuff happening, but I'm like, if I'm not creating at least once a day, then I am being sucked dry by everything else that's happening.
And I think it's an important point to realize too, that creating our business, birthing our business, when you're in that flow, that's creativity.
Absolutely. Our ideas, our offerings, right? That is creativity, 100%.
So I think it gets, it just gets lost in that translation. When you're, you know, in a business space, and you are brainstorming ideas and you are talking to clients, all of those interpersonal skills, all of those using your imagination to either alone or collaborate with others to shape things. That's, it's all creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then my work is a whole nother element of my creativity, the offerings, the ideas, how, you know, these books and other, and my healing work, how it all comes together. Yeah. It's all just allowing it to be birthed and to just see what happens, right? And to just have fun with it.
And what a beautiful thing when you realize that it's like your worlds merge, and that whole healing, you know, journey you've been on, and then the publishing, which is newer for you as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's you know, since last March of 2021, I began, and it really was, I did not know, I never would imagine that this would be part of the work that I was doing, but it makes a lot of sense in the aspect of, I love the healing work, feels very free and open. And there, you know, there's just a lot more of this like creative, juicy energy. And the publishing work also has that, but it also has structure, right? You need to have a structure, a timeline, a shape to it. And that's a part of myself that I love, that aspect of myself. And that was something I was missing in just the healing work that I was doing, was I needed more, you know, a structural project or, you know, way, a pathway more. So that's how it's been infused. And yeah, it's been super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that as well. Did not see that as a space of being in, but you're so right. It does kind of create that structure, and just really love that aspect of it being another platform, another medium for people to speak and share their story, here in the podcast. It's using your voice, in the publishing house, it's using the written word. And that sense of collaboration, right?
Yeah, that's where the magic, I think, really happens. And that's where I think I always say, especially in the multi-author books, like that's where it's really limitless possibilities in those projects, because you never know who you may meet that may take you there or where, right? It's just being open to the process and to just, you know, seeing what could be created between a conversation of, you know, exchange of words.
Yeah. Yeah, so I want to put this out there to the listeners who, again, appreciate you being here, is to really just kind of go with that pull during the day. If you want to bake something, bake something. If you want to dance around the room, whether it's with other people or by yourself, like do it. These things that make us laugh, that bring us joy, it's what keeps us going.
And they're what's reminding us that we're alive, right? Like today I had a thought like, you know, how much of our time are we spent just surviving, or how much of our time are we spent thriving? And many of us, myself for so long, was just surviving, right? And thriving to me looks like adding in those moments of creativity, of joy, of laughter, of just being like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I feel like putting my hands in dirt. I have no idea, right? Whatever it is. And it's that to me is a thriving life in my eyes for myself.
So you mentioned evening routines. Do you have maybe if you would want to share maybe what that evening routine could look like, and just also wondering if you have a morning routine that's consistent or no?
Absolutely. Most of my life is surrounded around ritual and ceremony, I feel like. So that's kind of when I hear routine, for me, it's a ritual of a sort. And it's really, that's just something that is done on a consistent basis. So I also want to mention that sometimes our routines need to change, right? Or our rituals, our morning, our evening, as we evolve and grow, so do those rituals and routines. So for a long time, I had a very strict meditation practice in the morning, 20, 30 minutes of sitting in silence or doing mantra meditation, which is a Sanskrit phrase that you repeat. And that was very strict for a while. And that led me to see a lot, but that's really been evolved. And now it looks like being more open to the moment. So I definitely don't go on my cell phone until like 10 a.m. I don't connect to like anyone outside of myself besides my partner and my dog. And I kind of drop in. So I have an altar where I have my spiritual space, and I always go in and light a candle, and I drop in and ask myself like, what would feel really delicious to do right now? And this morning it looked like going for a 4-mile walk that turned into a run. I don't even run anymore, but I was called to start running, and I was like, all right, let's run. Some days it just looks like going to sit outside, going to put my feet on the earth. Sometimes it is going to sit for a 20-minute meditation. So it's really more open, but there's definitely – it's time to take care of myself, to nourish my body, eat really healthy foods, a lot of fruit, and a lot of water is part of my morning. And then in the evening, it's really a clearing of the day. So it looks like, again, whatever is needed for that day. Sometimes it's a bath. Sometimes it's lately it's been an evening meditation for me that allows me to just clear out the energy and what was, so I don't bring it into tomorrow. And throughout most of my day, there's a sense of celebration that happens, whether at 1:11 or 11:11, you can hear me or my partner like always like singing in the house, this little like mantra that we've been singing to just like be grateful and to amplify our energy during the day. So there's a little midday ritual too. We're pretty weird in this house, by the way.
I love it. But thank you so much for that, of replacing that word with ritual. I think that's really, really nice. And it's very important too to stress that things change. It's not something that has to be set in stone. It's like you're saying, it's very intuitive.
Yeah. And in the beginning, sometimes we need, like I needed at a certain point in my life, I needed to be really structured, right? So it's noticing also like when we're avoiding it, right? Versus sometimes we can kind of be like, oh, well, I don't feel like doing that today. It's not like, what do you feel like doing? It's what would be nourishing for you. And sometimes I don't feel like meditating or doing yoga or this, that, but I know it's going to serve me. And it's that like little party that you're like, yeah, I know that would help me. And then, you know, you have to have that like inner dialogue of like, are we avoiding this or are we listening to what actually feels really good?
Being an avoidance. Yeah, because I think it's important too to stay, because for people who don't know how to start this, they could be listening and be like, yeah, that all sounds really good, but don't know where to start. So yeah, structure, the way that you really pointed out, it is good.
Structure is amazing.
And then once you build up your confidence.
Yeah, and structure allows there for there to be freedom. A lot of the times people hear structure, they feel, oh no, there's suffocation. But structure, you know, in the creative process also, like when you have structure, there can be more space for exploring. So if you were like, all right, you know what, every morning I'm going to sit down, light a candle and put a timer on for 5 minutes and breathe deeply and just feel myself or however you want to do it, right? And just start there and just commit to doing that and maybe add a minute, you know, and just keep evolving and going.
Yeah. Cause there is that commitment and the word that you use, nourishing, and you realize, are you avoiding something? Or when we're actually taking time to be quiet with ourselves or to actually engage with ourselves, stuff comes up. Oh, this whole thing of cage no more, like you're making yourself a priority. And that's not an easy space for many.
Yeah. And yeah, I always am nudging people to make themselves above all else, right? If your family needs to come talk to you, but you're like, I can't right now. Like, that's okay, right? To be like, in this moment, I can't speak. This moment, I need to go take care of myself. Can we talk about this later? You know, to be able to make yourself a priority in the moment and in your days, I think it's important. But then also, of course, there's the fluctuation of needing to take care of the people around us, right? It's not always so black and white. I'm a very gray person. So it's always, you know, how are we in the moment?
Yeah, yeah. Welcome the gray into your lives.
Yeah.
So as we are getting to the top of the hour, we're going to get to the third question, which is kind of like things that we touched on, but just kind of wrapping it up and putting a nice bow on it. So why do you think creativity is important?
It reminds us that we're alive. It reminds us of the joy and the exploration and the innocence, you know, that inner child element. Our inner child's always with us, even though we're adults. We have this outward facade of being these big bad adults, but we're still little children in these bigger bodies that like own homes and have to make money. So it is an honoring of that, and to just, you know, have fun. And we are meant to have fun as adults, and we are meant to feel joy in everyday living. And that, I think, is why creativity is super important.
Yeah. It's funny. One of the workshops when I just got a download to do it and I didn't even think about it. I was just like smashing mosaics. That's mm-hmm. it. And I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. Didn't know where it was going to be. I just knew it was going to be about smashing tiles and plates and making something out of it. So I posted it, and within the hour I had 5 people reach out. And I'd say within the first 4 hours or so, I had 10 people.
Wow.
And when I created the space and had the workshop and said, why are you here? And they was like, I wanted to break something. Like, that's where you got me. I was smashing. I want permission to smash.
And that, I think you just kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head. Permission. We're all just seeking permission, right? We're like, can I do this? Is this okay? Yeah. Okay, cool. Like we're all seeking to feel safe and to feel permission to do things, right? And creativity, when we allow ourselves to explore creativity, that is giving ourselves the permission, making ourselves the priority that, you know, you can explore. Oh, you can do that, right? It allows for more to open up. So the more that we can give ourselves permission, the more that we will be able to explore within ourselves and get to know ourselves deeper.
Yeah. And it's that inner child thing. I love how you said it. It's, yeah, we're these adults who pay the mortgage and the rent and all that kind of stuff and have these quote unquote responsibilities, but we're kids inside and who want to play, who want to explore, who want to do these things, but get so bogged down in responsibility.
Yeah. And sometimes you need a nap and that's okay.
You do. The permission to nap. I also did a workshop where I filled up, because I saw it from the movie Princess Diaries, where she filled up balloons with paint and then attached them to a canvas. Did you see that?
Of course. That I love these workshops. Did you have a space where you host these workshops?
So I did do this, and that was really fun. Learned a lot from that. Pins are not good to be able to hold the balloon in place because they fall off and go in the grass, and that's not good.
Got it. Wow.
But learned a lot from it. So I was finding spaces, you know, in that world when we were doing all of that, and that kind of stuff will come around again. But I also create kits and with all the supplies for people to do things and teach online.
Beautiful.
But yeah, but just again, I brought that whole playfulness. Adults were in there. It was mostly adults in the space. Some kids, they brought their kids because they thought, well, either it was whether they thought, well, I can only do it if my kid is there, or I want to give them the experience too. But it was predominantly adults because they wanted to play.
Yeah. And I'm all about giving more of that. And, you know, just looking at how we can feel wildly expressed and opening up our senses, and it just allows us to be more alive. And I'm grateful that you're having these conversations about creativity, because oftentimes people are like, okay, well, how can I get to the next step, or how can I, so goal oriented or so driven in some like other area, but it's like, all right, what if the goal was, how can you be more creative, right? And these conversations help spark that and to bring more joy to people's lives. So thank you for having these conversations and for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate that. I really do. And I've learned that I kind of go through these periods, honestly, of should I switch up the questions? Is it too? But no, it just feels good. And I feel like it's open and open-ended enough, but yet structured.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of it, right? We need some structure, but then things flow from there.
They do, which is what we've been talking about. So Annette, can you please tell people how they can find and connect with you?
Absolutely. Thank you. So you can right now, my website is going through a rebrand, but you'll be able to connect with me through AnnetteMaria.org or SanctuaryPublishing.org. And then you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. My Instagram is it's.AnnetteMaria and my Facebook is AnnetteMaria. And yeah, that's how we can connect. I'm also on Insight Timer. So if you want to meditate with me for free, it's a beautiful app dedicated to healing. And you can do I have a morning and an evening meditation practice in there if you want to meditate with me. And that will be, I'm on Insight Timer. My name is Annette Maria. I'm a teacher on there. And yeah, I have my podcast, The Sacred Dance, as well. It's on Spotify, Apple. Anywhere you can get a podcast is where it's at. Those are ways that we can stay connected and learn more about one another and support one another.
I'm going to type your name in here now so people know how to spell it. Like on the Insight Timer, is it separated as Annette Maria or is it one
it's
word?
Separated.
Separated. Okay. So this is how you can, everybody, it's right there. So I just appreciate you taking this hour to be with us. Thank you so much, Annette.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I feel like this opened up something for me. So I'm going to message you after and share with you something that just came up.
Ooh, can't wait. And before you go, just give us like a final word of advice, final thought of advice.
Today, the theme for me has been, and usually my theme is the theme I am meant to teach on, is, you know, are you surviving or are you thriving? Again, none of those are good or bad, right? But are you surviving or are you thriving? And if you are surviving and if you have the ability to thrive and to, you know, feel more expressive and joyful, then I invite you to do one thing today that reminds you that you can thrive, that life can feel delicious and juicy and expansive and expressive. And that, yeah, you're worthy of having a joyful life, no matter what is happening.
Yeah. Wonderful. And if you don't know where to start with it, then look for a group or an individual to help, as we said, kind of create that structure for you, or that knowing, or find a class or a workshop or something to open yourself up to that curiosity.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you, you know, were pulled by me at all, you can always reach out to me. I also, alongside the publishing work, I do my healing work. So I, you know, I'm able to hold people in that way. We do somatic healing, dance and chanting, and there's a lot of expression and creativity infused in my healing work. So if that is something that is exciting for you, then I'm here for that as well.
He is. You want to connect with Annette. So yes, yes, yes. She is the woman for this. And I appreciate people who are live, people catching the replay. This space is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share, and leave comments so we can just boost all those algorithms and all of that good stuff, and just get these stories out there. We've always needed them, but now more than ever, there's just a calling for us to lift each other up and be connected. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, thank you.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com. I am Creative Philly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice, everybody has an expression, and I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy, and I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.